Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Happy Tuesday morning to you all as we begin a brand new week in WWE as we recap the 2024 WWE Draft and preview WWE Backlash going down this Saturday in Lyon, France. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand. And unfortunately, after some news dropped this past week, my co-captain is no longer the advocate for the rapidly improving Von Wagner. We pour 40 out, we bow our heads, and we remember the time we had with Von as he is now moving on to greater things as he hopefully continues his professional wrestling career. But we move forward as I bring to you back on the show. Now, he might be salty Scott Young on the free feed, but to me, considering the news that broke, he is sad Scott Young. Hello, Scott.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's still a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. All good things must come to an end. Shout out to Big Eyed V. Our time together has come to an end. But I have found a new client. All great advocates, they have to have clients, and I have a new client. This young lady is someone who's going to be taking over real soon. So from here on out, I will be the advocate, biggest cheerleader, and the restaurant co-signee for Jada Parker.
Wow. Wow. So does she get a franchise?
Franchise. She is the franchise.
She is the franchise player. So
She's bigger than the franchise. She is the franchise.
She is the franchise. So
we invested in her.
We are investing in her, a long-term investment. I do see the potential in Jada Parker as well. And I must say that when she had a hair malfunction during spring break in night one on NXT, she took that weave out and said, I don't need it. I'm going to rock my natural hair. Yes, Jada, take that ponytail, throw it away, and embrace your bun, your natural bun, because that will make you a superstar.
Listen, I feel very confident about this one. I feel this one could potentially hold some gold down the line, especially with a North American title in the mix. So we from starting next week, we will be there will be a Jada report that I will be bringing to the table to let everyone know how the progress is going.
I love that. The Jada report, the Miss Parker report. As I like to call it as well. But as Scott's mentioning change, there is a change coming to the Wrap effective via this episode that we're going to be now a Tuesday drop as we recap everything from Raw, SmackDown, NXT, beginning that immediacy of what we think about Monday Night Raw as it happened. It's going to be fresher content. We'll still talk about NXT, even though we might be on the cusp of it being a little bit outdated, but still relevant. And of course, talking all things SmackDown. It's always fun to kind of shake things up a bit, redo the format. But to reassure our listeners out there, for any PLE events to go down for NXT or WWE's main roster on the weekend, Saturday or Sunday, we will be doing live shows on YouTube, unless it's an international show, and you'll get that drop most likely on Sunday morning moving forward.
Yeah, so a little change. We're just changing the time and channel, or the channel's the same. We're just changing the time, but still same great content. We'll just be coming. It would be a lot easier to go live as well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the change.
Yes, easier to go live on Mondays, doing it probably for the big five pay-per-views that air during the year, Money in the Bank. I would throw that in there as well. But it gives us more flexibility to have some fun and talk about Monday Night Raw while it's super fresh after it happens on USA Network and ultimately when it goes on Netflix next year as well. So very exciting times for WWE as we dive into what happened last week in WWE before we dive into what happened tonight during night two of the 2024 WWE draft, as I talk about NXT spring break-in night one, as we get ready for spring break-in night two. And I gotta say that it was a very strong show, probably one of the best episodes of NXT this year, if not the best, because I thought it was a focused show, really good matches, great promotional segments, hyping up week two of spring break-in. But I want to single out the triple threat match between Lyra Valkyria, Tatum Paxley, and the champion, NXT Women's Champ, Roxanne Perez, in a triple threat match for her championship. And I thought all three ladies balled out. And I gotta say that I think NXT has found a new star in Tatum Paxley. After she explained herself a couple of weeks ago as to why she was stalking Lyra, it was not about her crush on Lyra. It was her obsession with the championship. And when you get that motivation and you're leaning in on that character, the fans tend to fall in love with that. And the improvement in the ring by Tatum is noticeable, and her work was really good in this match. And I think that with more time and seasoning, she's got next. We talked about this on the show recently about NXT trying to cultivate their women's division, needing some viable baby faces. She might be kooky and crazy, but I think Tatum has a shot to be a breakthrough star this year for NXT, especially when they make the move to the CW in the fall.
We'll see if the in-ring can continue at the rate that it's going. You know, she'll have to do this when it's a singles match, when it's all eyes on her. But, I mean, this was a great first start. This was a really fun triple threat match. You know, Roxanne is the veteran down there in NXT, so it's very important. So she's got a very important role, I should say, as far as kind of being that leader down there. And she's the top heel on the brand now. We saw some people making some moves in the draft night two from NXT. So, you know, Tatum could easily transition this into a babyface role, and I could see the crowd starting to get behind her with this as well. So it'll be very interesting to see how this progresses and if she stays in the title picture or if this was just a one-off.
Yes, I think they should work her way back into the title picture eventually, but show great potential. As you said, you got to do it in singles matches too. And I think that this gives her a boast of confidence to say, hey, this is something that maybe will get me over in the long term. It's a crazy gimmick, but it's something that the fans are latching onto, which is a good thing. And I'm looking forward to seeing what she do. Looking forward to seeing what she does on NXT moving forward as we get deeper into the new era for WWE, which I'm looking forward to very much. As we get to something I look forward to as well, which was the NXT Underground contract signing between Natalya and Lola Vice. I thought that both ladies cut really good promos leading up to their Underground match going down tonight on USA. I expect this to be a really good, gritty match. You know, Natalya comes down NXT ever so often, and she tends to just bring out the best in her opponents. Her and Lola Vice had a good match a few weeks ago. I think this would be even better. The atmosphere is going to be on point. And we got Shayna Baszler back in the building on NXT, a beloved figure, a two-time NXT Women's Champion. rarefied air, one of the baddest women to ever do it in that division during the height of the Black and Goat era, returns to corner Lola Vice. We got Carmen Petrovic on the side of Natalya. So I expect this to over-deliver tonight for Spring Break in Night 2, but the promotional hype behind it was pretty good as well.
Yeah, it didn't do a lot for me. The presentation and all that's good. Lola's fine. Cheddar biscuits for her. The twin, you know, and the twins. But it was okay. You know, the underground is the underground. It's still, you know, I'm still waiting on Shane McMahon to come out with a couple of strippers and, you know, random people just to walk up in the ring and start attacking each other. So it is what it is, but it was fine.
That era of Raw Underground is over. You know, that was a tough time out there. The strippers had to find work during the heart of the pandemic, and Shane said, I have a place for you, Raw Underground, and they worked there for a grand total of a week, and they were laid off. So now we're in the new era of Raw Underground via NXT, and it's going to be, you know, more grittier. It's going to be more high-end with the NXT PC performers acting as the ambiance of the crowd, rooting on the fighters. But I do think it's going to be very good, and I just wanted to ask Scott, for clarity purposes, who are the twins?
Listen, you know, Natty and the twins. Let me refer to Natty and the twins. Natty and the twins. You know, it's a, you can almost call it a group, you know, like Benny and the Jets, you know, Natty and the twins. So, you know, that's who the twins are. I don't think anyone could really disagree with that statement.
No, not at all. And we shall see how this match goes. And we'll talk about it right here on The Wrap next Tuesday morning as we get to another match, the beach brawl between Sol Ruka and Blair Davenport. I thought this match was interesting. Elements of it was good, and then elements of it was corny as hell. We had like Sol throwing very light objects at Blair that would not hurt a fly. That was a bit unbelievable to me. I am a sucker for a bump in a ball pit, so I appreciated that. The crash of the table was nice to see, but the Sol Snatcher, springboard by Ruka to Davenport on the surfboard was a nice way to end the match, to end the rivalry. And I appreciated the effort from both ladies. Like I said, elements of this match is very campy and hokey, but the physicality aspects of it was very good. And this is probably Sol's best showing since her return to injury a couple of months ago.
Yes, it was. But it was okay. I like Sol. That was a nice finish right there. But this absolutely felt like a Halloween episode where somebody was going to get a pumpkin over their head before they got the finisher put on them. I got flashbacks to Cesaro getting pumpkin on his head, a turkey on his head, whatever the holiday was, it was going on Cesaro's head. This gave me those type of flashbacks, but it was fine. You know, Sol Ruka's got the Blue Crush vibes going on, and that's cool. That rocks for her. And I don't think Blair Davenport has won a match in NXT, so it's all good.
Now, let's be fair, Scott. She has won a match.
Did she light one?
First of all, let's not be disrespectful. Let's not be rude. Let's be fair.
Okay.
She was, for reasons I did not quite understand at the time, she was the Iron Survivor at Deadline. Let's not forget that. She has won a match on NXT. I think she beat, if I'm not mistaken, Nikita Lyons as well. So maybe two matches she's won on NXT.
Well, I definitely forgot. So good for her. Yeah, I forgot. So, well, that's good. But shout out to Ruka. Let's see if she can beat someone that I remember has won some matches.
I hope so as well. I think that this is a good building block for her. I still think there needs to be a bit more connectivity with her via the crowd that will come with time, obviously, figure it out and then get the in-ring game further together, and she can be a standout star on NXT in the next year or so. As long as she stays healthy, that's the key moving forward. As we get to the main event of NXT Spring Break in Night 1, which was Trick Williams versus Ilya Dragunov for the NXT Championship. This was their fourth match in the last year or so, and the winner would be the champion, and the loser would obviously either leave NXT or get moved up to the main roster. And this was a great match. I thought the presentation throughout the evening was very good, with the main roster stars appearing backstage in the crowd, hyping up Trick and Ilya respectively. And I thought this match was great. The physicality, the respect, the handshake, the hug, the brawling, the finishers used by Trick Williams that are normally used by Dragunov and near falls was really good as well. Both guys just beat the hell out of each other. Their chemistry is everything. You can really see how much they really respect each other in the ring, because they always just let it all hang out. But it came down to two guys in the corner. Who's gonna pull the trigger first? Who's gonna hit their finisher before the other? Would it be the Torpedo Moscow? Would it be the Trick Knee? It comes out to be the Trick Shot by Trick Williams to become NXT champion. It's an emotional victory for Trick. Dragunov hands the belt to Trick Williams. He's very emotional about that. They hug it out, kiss on the cheek. He walks away in tears, and Trick celebrates with the people. I love the Creed brothers in the crowd rooting on Trick. They're big fans of him. I love the presentation. I love the match. I love who won. And now we move forward with Trick Williams being the face of this brand moving forward. And it was a very fitting end to Night 1 of NXT Spring Break-In.
Yeah, this was a real good match. Trick is now officially the face of the brand, as he's worked hard to be. He's somebody that's a day one guy, legit. You know, there's a lot of talk about how the PC doesn't do a lot for anybody, doesn't create stars. I guess Bianca Belair doesn't exist. But, you know, when you look at Trick Williams and it's like, well, what are we talking about? You look at Tiffany Stratton and it's like, what are we talking about? Trick is a guy that we literally watched his first match. We watched his first promo, and now he's the face of the brand. So big moment. Love that the crowd got to experience that. Love that it was on, you know, where the most eyes was going to be on it. This is in as far as viewership. So happy for that for Trick. And I'm excited to see what his, you know, how his reign, this era is going to be. And if he is champion by the time they get to the CW.
That is true. We shall see how it goes. I mean, you never know in terms of title swaps heading into the summertime. I'm looking forward to that. But this is Trick's time. I remember him being the hype guy for Carmelo Hayes nearly 3 years ago in NXT when they rebooted the brand into 2.0. And I didn't know who the guy was, but I knew the guy could talk. He had just the gift of gab, and he has broken through in a big way in the last year or so. And that reaction when he won the championship, the fans were shaking the hard cam. Like, that was probably one of the biggest reactions I have ever heard. I think it's on the same level when Rhea Ripley beat Shayna Baszler for the NXT championship on NXT back in December of 2019. Just that elation of them finally seeing their favorite win the championship in the main event in a great match. And I'm very happy for Trick, and I think he'll be a great face for NXT. And Dragunov was a consummate professional throughout all of this, a great champion. And now we know his future, as we'll get to later. But all in all, a really good NXT Spring Break-In. Night 2 is a little weaker in terms of the card because the draft happened and you don't know how things are going to be reconfigured. But overall, for NXT, pulled a good number, good demo rating, especially against the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, a lot of sports competition. They came through, delivered a good show, and got the ratings reward at the end of the day.
Yeah, and shout out to Dragunov. Went out like a king, as he is. Went out with the, you know, on his sword, on the throne. And I look forward to seeing what he does on Raw. But I look forward to the crossovers that Trick Williams has. I look forward to seeing what powers he gets on the next season of Riverdale Zombies.
And, oh my God.
And then I look forward to seeing him being the rival cornerback to whatever the old boy's name is, an all-American. as he's the wide receiver, being the opposing cornerback, the all-American cornerback he's got to get through to get to the NFL. I can't wait for the crossover appeal that Trick Williams is going to have. It's going to be fantastic.
You know, if this was a CW or 5 years ago, you might be right, but this is just bare bones. We ain't got much on the CW, and you're not going to get very much. You might get an All-American homecoming crossover at best.
I'll take that. And, you know, he has a little football pedigree to him as well. So, yeah, I could see that fits the demographic. I'm pretty sure that the ladies won't mind, especially when he does his shirtless workout scenes, which is, you know, you have to do for the CW football shows. You know, you got to have your out when they're out in the field, got to have your shirts off catching the ball because you can't catch it with a shirt on. You know, Lord knows, can't wear a shirt when you're working out. So there's that. Shout out to him.
Your extensive knowledge of how the CW works with their teen dramas astounds me, tells me that you are a regular viewer.
Listen, I was a big Arrowverse guy, huge Arrowverse guy. Arrow is my jam. Flash was real good for the first three seasons. Legends of Tomorrow is whatever. Supergirl is one of the worst shows of all time.
Wow.
And, I'm sorry, you're right, because Black Lightning exists. So that's
what? No, wait, no. Do not
Black
slander.
Black Lightning is absolutely terrible.
No. Now, the last season and the switch up with the girl choices, that was trash. But horrible. I will say the first couple of seasons were good. I cannot defend the last season of Black Lightning.
I you can't defend Black Lightning at all, but it is what it is. It is what it is. But that trash. And then you got Batwoman. Don't even get me started.
No, when there is zero defense, zero.
No, don't even get me started on Batwoman and her red wig that she had to rock. So. Oh, I'm sorry. She didn't rock the wig. She just wore the face mask, and then she had the fro out. So nobody could put her fro together. Like, when she had work, nobody's like, yo, you know, your fro look real familiar. You ever seen Batwoman? Let me put your hair up. So I'm just saying, man, I was a big fan of the Arrowverse for Arrow. And then that went off, and I stopped watching it. Next thing you know, all I know is that Riverdale started doing, like, powers and stuff. People started time traveling, and I don't know. It was weird. But I did watch All American. First two seasons are great. Then they just went off the rails too.
Okay. So my CW origin stories go back to the WB, obviously. Smallville lover through and through. I loved elements of the Arrowverse. Respect for Black Lightning, except for the last season. And as for Riverdale, first season, great. After that, that show became whatever the hell it was. And I will admit, I watched every season begrudgingly because I am dedicated to a fault. But even I, during the last season, I said, you know what? This 50 stuff, I tap out. But as a penchant for punishment, I will find time sometime in the summer to go on Netflix, queue up Riverdale, and endure the final season. I have to finish the story like Cody Rhodes finished his at WrestleMania. I have to finish Riverdale, close the book, and never revisit it. I have to do what I got to do.
No, you don't. You can let it go. You ain't got to worry about it. You ain't got to worry about it. You can look it up on Wikipedia. And if it sounds good, you can look up the clips on YouTube. You ain't got to worry about it. Don't waste your time.
I might take that under advisement, but you know I got to do this. I have to finish the story. I have to do it. Got to suck it up. Got to do the right thing, and then I'll report back to you because we got to make sure this CW synergy flows on the wrap when NXT makes that move in a few months. So we just got to make sure we are in formation.
That's it. And, you know, I'm just giving people a little taste of what Trick could possibly be on. But yeah, that's NXT for you. Spring breaking. Good show.
Yes, and a CW sidebar out of nowhere as we get to night one of the 2024 WWE draft going down on SmackDown from Cincinnati, Ohio. Competition was high, NBA playoffs, NHL, and night two of the NFL draft on ESPN2 and ABC. So heavy competition between those collective of sports events going on across the dial. And we wondered, how would the presentation of the draft be for WWE versus many years ago? The lottery format, we had the video game format, we had various formats of this draft, and they kind of stuck to the rounds, you know, not too many picks for Raw, not too many picks for SmackDown, 4 picks per round. If you are hosting the draft that night, the brand goes first. SmackDown did, and Raw did last night. And we got some NXT picks as well. But Scott, we saw war rooms. We saw strategy. We saw phone calls amongst the GMs to the talent they were drafting throughout the night. We kind of got a professional presentation, but nothing out of the ordinary for the most part, except a little graphic that says the draft picks are in. I would have liked a little cheat of the music from the NFL draft, but I digress.
Yeah, not a lot going on with that. They made sure to make NXT feel like a developmental brand. NXT is definitely the G League here, and it felt like that. So they didn't even get a draft. Like, they weren't even really a part of the draft. They just got, you know, taken advantage of in the draft. So, you know, it is what it is. The war room thing was cool. But the draft picks themselves just make no sense. So the war room doesn't make any sense either. But it is what it is. Champions are set. Everything should be set. We'll see if they stick to it. Hopefully this is a hard line drawn in the sand, especially with them. You know, one going to Netflix, going to USA. I hope there's a real competition being made there. But as far as the draft presentation, it was okay.
It was all right. I think the lack of movement for night one kind of confused the fans. Like, well, nothing has really changed. It's pretty stationary. But I think that Triple H kind of likes things how they are. But I will say there was a lot more movement for night two. We did get separation of factions, which I like to let the feuds breathe after months and if not years of going back and forth with other people. I like that element of it. But overall, it felt like a very sterile presentation. We got Hall of Famers delivering the draft picks. We got a show. It was decent for what it was. And we're going to get into the draft picks right now. And the first pick in the 2024 WWE draft for SmackDown, because Roman Reigns withdrew his name from consideration for this year's pool. He wanted to give it to someone who was going to be there in the interim to be able to, you know, carry the brand flag proudly. And that number one draft pick went to the one, the only, Bianca Belair.
I mean, you won't get no complaints from me. If it would have been Jey Uso, would have, you know, fit a little bit more into just storyline, especially with, you know, him picking Jey as his, you know, his first right hand man. But Bianca Belair, number one overall draft pick, love to see it.
Yes. Jey Uso was number two from Monday Night Raw, number three from NXT, Carmelo Hayes, and number four, Seth freaking Rollins from Monday Night Raw.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Again, and as we go through the draft picks, the draft just didn't, the picks don't make sense, but it is what it is. Carmelo Hayes, that's a big spot for him. Good, good attention to get him early in the draft, get a lot of spotlight on him. The match was a whole nother subject, but the spotlight that we got to start with, it's a good start.
Yes, definitely. And he came out to confront Cody Rhodes, who had a contract signing with AJ Styles. Pretty nondescript. I am kind of tired of people bringing up Dusty Rhodes and Cody promos. Like, let's have a feud about just the two of you, and let's go from there. And hopefully that happens following Backlash. It was a very cordial contract signing. It was different from past WWE signings, as we had two separate tables, no table spots, no violence, which is pretty good. And Melo comes out to say he's going to shoot a shot on the champion. He's going to go out there, make a statement, vows not to miss. And we have the match made official. It was Cody Rhodes versus Melo in the main event of SmackDown, which we'll get to shortly as we get to round two of the WWE draft. Remaining on SmackDown, Randy Orton moving from SmackDown after being signed as a free agent, as Scott cackled and predicted. Adam Pearce fleeced Bron Breakker from SmackDown to Monday Night Raw. Nia Jax flips to Raw to SmackDown, and Liv Morgan remains on Monday Night Raw.
Can you go over that second round for me one more time?
Yes, I will say it again. Second round, Randy Orton remains on SmackDown. Former free agent who signed to SmackDown, Bron Breakker, was fleeced to Monday Night Raw. Nia Jax moves from Raw to SmackDown, and Liv Morgan remains on Monday Night Raw.
So the highly touted free agent, Bron Breakker. you... Come on, man. Like, you didn't take him with your first pick? Like, this is what I'm talking about. You did all that and you didn't think Adam Pearce was going to take him? Like, Randy Orton, another guy. Like, I get you wanted to get Carmelo Hayes, but like, and it just gets worse as we go on. Like, We ain't even going to get to, we might not even mention the Indy Hartwell, Candice LeRae pick going over Bronson Reed, but that's a whole nother subject anyway. All right. Yeah, it is what it is, man. Like I said, the draft happened.
It did. I knew, just like when the Falcons drafted a quarterback at number 8, after they paid Kirk Cousins $100 million, that is the equivalent of Nick Aldis losing Bron Breakker to Adam Pearce on Monday Night Raw. What a stupid move.
Like I said, it only gets worse.
It gets worse, and I think it's strategy to keep Melo and Bron separated for now. I get that. That is going to be a big money match down the road, but still, curious draft pick. As we get to round three of the WWE draft, remaining on SmackDown is LA Knight. Remaining on Monday Night Raw is Ricochet. Remaining on SmackDown is The Bloodline, Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Paul Heyman. No longer remaining on SmackDown is Sheamus, who re-debuted on Raw. Do not ask me, as I'm looking at this right now. I'm in confusion too. And then AJ Styles remains on SmackDown. The Sheamus pick is curious because he was on Raw. Help me.
I can't. I don't. Stuff was just happening. So, you know. Again, not a lot going on. It was just kind of, this is more so like a roster reveal than an actual draft. So that happened.
It did. And the final round of night one of the WWE draft, remaining on SmackDown, the phenomenal AJ Styles. The Alpha Academy, Chad Gable, Otis, Akira Tozawa, and Maxxine Dupri remain on Monday Night Raw. Andrade moves from Monday Night Raw to SmackDown, and getting called up from NXT to Monday Night Raw is the one and only Kiana James.
I like the Kiana James pick. I saw someone compare this to Alexa Bliss, in that Alexa Bliss didn't really do a lot in NXT, didn't really win a lot in NXT, but once she went up to the main roster, had a great main roster career. I think it's the same thing.
Yes, I think so as well. I think she's going to be a hidden gem on Monday Night Raw. Just give her the push. The presentation is going to be everything, because I think with the draft picks that we'll get to for night two, the presentation that you see at the WWE PC is going to be amplified via the main roster, via these call-ups, which I think is a good thing. It's going to make them feel big league, big time. But of course, the push is going to match the presentation, which I hope we get to see in the weeks and months to come. And that wraps up night one of the WWE draft on television. Then we got supplemental picks that went down on WWE.com that was released on social media throughout the evening on Friday night. And going from Raw to SmackDown are the Witches, Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn, SmackDown to Monday Night Raw.
So, you know, we can fully expect some witchcraft heading to Netflix. You know, Halloween season will be a lot of fun when they're all over the top 10 list. You know, I can see them doing some Goosebump specials. You know, there's a lot of Netflix potential there with the coven.
The coven. We shall see how the coven crossover goes down on Netflix in January 2025. As we get to a pick that makes me happy and a little sad, because the Wolf Dogs are no more for right now. Baron Corbin from NXT back to SmackDown.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with this. We'll see how they present him. If they're going to present him as a babyface, he's still going to need to come out and cut some type of promo, some type of backstage or some type of video package highlighting, you know, this new side of him that Bron Breakker's come out with. Because if you just debut him and expect him to get a babyface reaction, I just don't see it happening like that. So, you know, play a little video package before you bring him out, let him come out, still be himself, show off a little bit more of the moveset like he's been doing in NXT, and then you can kind of work your way into it.
Yes, I feel that as well. As we get to remaining on SmackDown, a tag team that got like promo for a week or so and then it dropped randomly, Cedric Alexander and Ashanti the Adonis, remaining on SmackDown as a tag team.
Great. See you on Speed.
Oh, wow. The shade of that comment, but it's factual at the same time. As we get to Ivar remaining on Monday Night Raw, Shayna Baszler remaining on Monday Night Raw, the OC, Luke Gallows, Karl Anderson, and Meechan remaining on SmackDown, and Zoe Stark rounds out the supplemental draft remaining on Monday Night Raw.
All right, great. And I guess you just can show up on NXT whenever you feel like it. You don't even need a hall pass or, you know, a pass to get it. You don't have to sign the guest list. You just show up. Just don't wear your costume.
Yes, no need. Just show up as you are.
It's crazy.
Come as you are. That's right. Now we got to get to some backstage shenanigans dating back to WrestleMania season, the night before, actually, or the week before, maybe, when someone attacked Dragon Lee backstage. And it was a mystery as to who did it. And it was a presumption that it was none other than Santos Escobar, who put the beat down on Dragon Lee and took him out of that WrestleMania match, and Andrade was the replacement. But I knew in my heart that the guy that did that shit was Carlito. And after the LWO took out Legado in a tag team match, Santos Escobar came out and he told Ray, "I know who did it. Electra Lopez, you know, procure the footage. And we're going to show it to you right now, because it was not I that attacked Dragon Lee." And we see the footage is grainy, it's black and white, and it's Dragon Lee backstage. And then we see a person wearing having a very familiar afro go after Dragon Lee. And it is Carlito that beat his ass from behind, took him out, and then feigned shock to say, "Oh my God, who did it?" And then Carlito, knowing he did that shit, immediately went after Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio and fled the scene. And then in one of the dumbest moments we'll get to later, Scott, something happened during night two of the 2024 WWE draft, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah. you know, hopefully he starts spitting in the face of people who want to be cool, because that'd be great again. And the music too, as long as Death Row doesn't get a hold of it. And you know, at least we got, at least we're here now. So we'll see what comes next. I don't see a lot of long game and Carlito being around here too much longer. But again, this happened and we're here.
We're here. It happened. I'm glad that we got the video footage to confirm it. Carlito turns heel. I do think the end of the road is here for him as well. But we'll get to the dumbassery from night two of the draft shortly. But then we get to the main event of SmackDown from this past Friday. It was the WWE Undisputed Champion Cody Rhodes versus the number three draft pick in the 2024 WWE draft, Carmelo Hayes. And I thought this was a very good match. Both guys worked great together. Melo trained up Cody upon his return to WWE from that torn pec injury back in 2023. And they just flowed together. Melo was bumping. He was hitting his moves really well. And Cody was selling as well as Melo. There was like this collision in midair. I don't know what was supposed to happen. They kind of missed each other. But then Cody recovers, hits the crossroads on Melo, who sells it great for the victory. I do question kind of defining down Carmelo night one of the draft. Yes, you want to make sure you put him in a prime spot, but losing to the champ, okay, he'll bounce back, but you want to present him a bit more strongly by giving him like, you know, a big meaningful win. But nice showcase main event. After the match is over, AJ Styles runs up on Cody Rhodes. No physical confrontation heading into their championship match at Backlash this Saturday on Peacock.
Yeah, you you have your top draft pick take a L first night. It's not the way to go. Looked like they were going for Melo's springboard clothesline, and it looked like it was supposed to land right into Cody's Cody cutter. But Cody was a step late, and Melo was, he was already on his feet by that time. Cody was in the air coming back, so timing was off, but you know, they recovered. But still, Melo taking a loss first night. You could have just drafted him later on in the show. You could have saved that top draft pick, gave it to somebody else, you know, gave somebody else that first round special feel. But again, I still just don't like night one. Just was just there just to be there.
It really was not a lot of movement. As I went through the list, I kept saying still on SmackDown, still on Raw, very staticky, but it got better for night two, despite one dumbass election, which I'll get to in a moment. But yeah, the presentation was just all right. It was okay. You know, it just felt like another WWE draft with a better presentation. But I will say that the NXT element is good. You're at the PC. You got the talent there. You got select fans, and you got select fans there as well. And it does add that, as you mentioned, G League atmosphere of that surprise call up. And I think that was the best part of night two of the WWE draft, that you got genuine reaction from people in NXT that had no idea they were getting called up. And I love that genuine emotion from several people that felt, oh my God, I did not see this coming. It was a holy shit, I have made it. And I love that. And I hope it fuels them as they move on up to the main roster in the days and weeks to come.
Yeah, the presentation was much better on Monday Night Raw than it was on SmackDown. Feel like they took a lot of the criticism from SmackDown, applied it, which is fine. That's what you're supposed to do. But Raw was a lot better. We'll see what happens after this sticks. But yeah, the presentation was a lot better for Monday.
Yes, for sure. And due to what happened last Monday on Raw, you know, with the new era for us as well, we're not going to really touch on too much from last week's show, but I do want to talk about the promo exchange between Jey Uso and Damian Priest. It was, to me, Scott, I don't know if it was just me, but it was a little weird that they talked about going out after a match, after Jey whooped up on Damian Priest, and they kind of bonded for mutual respect and said, hey, Priest, you got next. And he did by becoming World Heavyweight Champion at WrestleMania, saying that's something that Jey will never do. And I was like, maybe this is a bit too friendly. It did get a little spicy towards the end when Jey was alluding to some leadership drama within Judgment Day, with Rhea Ripley being out with injury, that he is basically the de facto leader by default in Damian Priest, and that's going to be leading into some tension with Judgment Day, I think, in the weeks to come. Some really good good inside stuff that we saw on the show, which we'll get to soon. But I just want your thoughts on this promo exchange. Was it a bit too much? Was it just enough? Or did you want a bit more from Priest and Jey Uso heading into their World Heavyweight Championship match at Backlash on Saturday?
I don't really know if there's a lot that they can do to really get me excited about that match. You know, it is what it is. The match is set. I think we all know the match, what the match is for. It's to give Damian Priest a nice win over a top babyface. And I think we'll get that, but I don't think we should be expecting anything much more out of it than that.
Yeah,
and the promo exchange was fine, by the way.
It was fine. It was like a little confusing to me because it's Priest, a babyface, or a heel. He's coming off a little bit likable, but that might be a future window into a run for him, as we might have a moment on the show in about 1 minute and 6 seconds. The Denver Nuggets are leading the Lakers 106-104. And by the time we get through this next segment, Scott's Lakers might be down for the season, joining the Warriors and Phoenix and OKC and 1-2-3 Cancun.
We still got time. Still got hope. Still got the king. So if we got the king, we got a chance.
Okay. 38.1 seconds to go, 24 on the shot clock, as we get to some more Monday night happenings from last Monday, as Gunther put a hit out on Giovanni Vinci after Giovanni and Ludwig Kaiser lost in a New Day in a tag team match. And after the match was over, Ludwig basically destroyed Giovanni Vinci on the orders of Gunther, who is going to be in the King of the Ring tournament next month in Saudi Arabia. And now Imperium is now a two-man unit after Ludwig viciously took out his former tag team partner.
Yeah, he's pretty good at these beatdowns. We've seen it before with the New Day. Now we've seen it again with Gio. And, he sent Giovanni back to the Matrix. Cypher won't be coming back. He'll be eating his steaks because they taste so good. We'll see him around sometime.
You do not call that man Gio, really?
For sure.
Okay. Enough. Also on Monday Night Raw, as I quickly move on, it was a segment between Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. And, you know, Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, they go way back. They've had banger after banger after banger on the main roster as tag team partners, as opponents in the last 4 or so years. Classics on Raw, SmackDown, especially during the Thunderdome era. But we had this segment of Drew McIntyre and Sheamus talking about Drew McIntyre basically ruining his moment at WrestleMania by being too greedy, by not savoring the moment, by not walking away gracefully, and instead deciding to antagonize CM Punk, and therefore that cost him the championship after a grand total of 5 minutes and 46 seconds. And Sheamus called him out on that. And then Drew McIntyre body shame Sheamus, talking about not banger after banger, but burger after burger after burger after burger. And it was something for sure. No lie about that. As I look at the end of the Lakers, sorry, Scott, 108-106 is the final. The Lakers season is over. 1-2-3, Cancun. Jamal Murray once again with the kill shot.
Yeah, good season, good fight. They sent us home, but we'll see what happens next year. It sucks. See what happens next year. That's a bummer.
The man got him again, got him again, got him again, got him again. And I did say Denver in five. I did give the Lakers one game, so I cared to a point.
You did. You called that, and they got the one, but they shut him down in five. Way to close out, Jamal.
Yeah, respect. But your thoughts, Scott, on Sheamus and Drew McIntyre having this exchange? And, you know, Sheamus is a good sport. He was making light of the jokes that was at his expense last week, and he looked, you know, a bit more fit. He was supposed to come back later, not so soon. That's why he looked not as great as he normally does. But the guy had neck surgery and people were shaming him for his appearance, but he's making light of it. And you do that by using humor, which is a good thing. And he kind of broke character when Drew said burger after burger. Like, you think you're shaming me? Actually, it's funny. But I enjoy the exchange. And I do wonder how their relationship evolves when CM Punk returns full time imminently.
Yeah, I'd like to see them go on a heel run, but we'll see if Sheamus does come back as that. I think they'd be a lot of fun in that role, especially turning on CM Punk, thinking Sheamus is on his side, and then, you know, them just, we fight, we make up, we go drink, we make up. That's what we do. So it wouldn't be a big deal. I'd like to see that happen, but the exchange was good. Sheamus is back. People body shaming him would never say that to his face because he just punched him in the mouth. But if they do have another match, we know it'll be real good.
Most definitely looking forward to that whenever it happens on Monday Night Raw as we get to the main event, which was the WWE Women's World Championship Battle Royal. 15 women vie for a chance to become the next champion. Becky Lynch was in this match alongside Liv Morgan, Nia Jax, Chelsea Green, who was another highlight. This one was actually her getting eliminated, but because all of the action with Nia Jax and Becky Lynch going on at ringside and Piper Nevin, the referee did not see Chelsea Green get eliminated. So therefore, she put herself back in the match and lasted a little while longer. She is the Battle Royal Comedy Queen MVP. I love her. She's crafty. She's clever. And that was a very creative way to stay in a Battle Royal after an elimination.
Yeah, Chelsea Green's very good at what she does. Give her screen time, she can definitely fill it up and fill it up well.
Yes, and it came down to Nia Jax, Liv Morgan, and Becky Lynch as the last three. We had Liv and Becky Lynch take out Nia Jax. It came down to Liv and Becky Lynch, and I thought that Liv was going to get it, but ultimately it came down to Becky Lynch landing a manhandle slam on the apron, eliminating Liv, and now she is now a seven-time Women's World Champion. After 2 years, she is champion once again in WWE on the major title side, not counting NXT, obviously. But good match. Do you approve of Becky being the champion for now, Scott?
Yeah, Becky's a good choice. Biggest name you got left on the roster. And if it's not going to be Rhea, then Becky's more than capable of carrying that flag until you're ready to give Liv the title. So I'm here for it.
Me too. Absolutely. So I think she's a good choice. She's a great anchor for Monday Night Raw. And I believe she's going to do some good on that show as they got a big boost via night two of the WWE draft, as we'll get to right now, via Monday Night Raw, which was live from Kansas City, Missouri, the home of the 2023 world champions, the Kansas City Chiefs. And for some reason, Scott, Patrick Mahomes was a heel because he was in line with Logan Paul, because he is a prime member in terms of being an endorser of the Prime energy drink.
It's probably the most likable I've ever had Patrick Mahomes be for me. I'm a Bills fan, so what do I know? But yeah, that was a choice, but I liked it. I liked the standoff at the end with Braun and the linemen protecting their quarterback. And I will say this, Patty Mahomes is a bigger guy than I thought he was. He did not look out of place standing beside them wrestlers.
He did not. It was curious for him to be a baddie on this evening, but we'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. As we get to round one of the WWE Draft Night 2, overall, number one draft pick for Monday Night Raw Night 2 goes to Imperium, Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser, remaining on Monday Night Raw. Number two, Jade Cargill. Now, Nick Aldis said, I'm going to keep one of them, right? I'm going to keep one of my franchise players that I signed recently. She remains on SmackDown. Big move, Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Io Sky, Asuka, and Kairi Sane, the Women's World Champions, Women's Tag Team Champions, I should say, move from SmackDown to Monday Night Raw, and Kevin Owens rounds out the first round remaining on Friday Night SmackDown.
Smart to get Damage Control over. It's a good heel group for Becky Lynch to have to contend with. At some point in time, Io Sky versus Becky Lynch will be a very good title match. And then whenever the, you know, Asuka and Kairi Sane lose their titles, those singles matches as well. So like the move for that especially.
Yes, opens the door for more singles matches for everybody involved. Great switch. And most importantly, Bianca Belair is free from this crew after 2 years almost. Finally, praise the Lord. As we, or not, because if they're the tag team champions, it's still mingled across brands. So it ain't quite over.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we'll get a little bit more, but I think they'll try to keep them separated, hopefully.
Yes. Round two of the WWE draft. CM Punk remains on Monday Night Raw. The Pride, Scott's favorite faction. Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, Montez Ford, and B-Fab remain on SmackDown. Braun Strowman is back, remaining on Monday Night Raw. And Tiffany Stratton remains on SmackDown. Essentially, nobody moved this round.
Yeah, Lion King decided to stay live action on SmackDown. I even saw Bobby Lashley's new trailer that just came out, talking about his life before he became king. Shout out Mufasa. And so I'm excited to see that. And it had MVP as Rafiki telling the story. So real excited for that one. Shout out to the Lion King. And, you know, we're not going to forget about the faculty. who also got drafted, but then we'll get to that later, right? Shout out to the faculty as well. This whole thing is just a bit. It's whatever, man. It's whatever.
First of all, I had no idea we was getting a live action Mufasa film. Second of all, why?
Shout out to Lin-Man Miranda Manuel. For who will be making the soundtrack.
He's wonderful. Why?
I don't know. I guess we need to know how he became king and how Scar got his scar.
Yeah, I can understand that. Actually, we need to know how they had a loving relationship and how it all went to hell. And, you know, the draw is cute Mufasa, baby Mufasa. That's the draw, Scott, when he was a cub. And then he becomes this gritty king of the jungle. And then we get the origin story of that. And I still don't care. The draw is basically baby Mufasa. That's it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's true.
I'll peek it on Disney Plus sometime next year. But anywho, as we move on to the next round of the WWE draft, did I name all the picks? I think I might have forgot one. Tiffany Stratton, yes, remains on SmackDown. Yes. So next round, the dumbest selection of the night. So from SmackDown to Monday Night Raw, the LWO, including Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee, Joaquin Wilde, Cruz del Toro, Zelina Vega, and for reasons that defy time and space and reason, Carlito, who betrayed the faction 3 days earlier.
To be fair, they didn't kick him out yet. So he is still part of the group. He is still getting an LWO check. Still getting every time he even got his own t-shirt. So he getting two shirt checks. You know, he getting a little piece of that LWO merch. And then he got his own merch. So, yeah, I can't be too mad at it. But I guess that feud continues. He's back with Dirty Sanchez. So Dirty Sanchez and Carlito are probably going to – I can see him joining up over there. Especially with Damian Lee or Damian Priest about to leave. So it's getting real feisty over there on Monday Night Raw heading to Netflix.
Yes. Faction Wars 2024 is in full effect as we have Legado de Fantasma, Santos Escobar, Angel, Berto, and Electra Lopez remaining on SmackDown. Drew McIntyre, who was drafted after CM Punk, it remains on Monday Night Raw, and moving from Raw to SmackDown is Shinsuke Nakamura.
Shinsuke going back to SmackDown is a good pickup, but yeah, there wasn't the big move that you always expect. Like back in the day, there was always a big draft pick, either at the very first one or the last one. Think back to John Cena. He was the WWE champion. He was the very first pick of that draft. You think about like Edge and Chris Jericho. They were like the last two of one of the drafts on Monday Night Raw when they did the Super Show. Like those were two big transitions that, that shifted brands. Even John Cena being drafted to SmackDown and then being drafted back to Raw was a hook because it was a big name that was drafted at the beginning or coming back towards the end. I mean, like you didn't even have any of the big names or any like real big names change brands or shift or anything, like no big returns. I don't know. It didn't have the same feel.
Didn't have the same pop for sure. Just kind of sterile. Some movement, as we said, but you're basically moving entire factions around that is going to kind of inflate the numbers a bit in terms of movement. But yeah, it was kind of like not a big shock as to who moved from which show to what. No major returns outside of Braun Strowman, which we'll get to in a moment. As we get to our next round, round four of the WWE draft, remaining on Monday Night Raw, the Judgment Day, Finn Balor, Dirty Dominic Mysterio, and JD McDonagh. We have Naomi remaining on SmackDown from NXT. Ilya Dragunov gets the call up from NXT to Monday Night Raw. And moving up from Raw to SmackDown, Chelsea Green and Piper Nevin.
Yeah, another tag, nice women's tag team to move over. Looks like they're ramping up their division a little bit. A lot of these women that are leaving Monday Night Raw, we're still going to see on USA because SmackDown is coming to USA. So it's almost going to be like nothing changed.
Yes, that is a very good point. As we get to round five of the WWE draft, staying on Monday Night Raw, The New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. Remaining on SmackDown, Pretty Deadly, Kit Wilson and Elton Prince. Moving up from NXT to Monday Night Raw, Lyra Valkyria. That was one of the best reactions of the night. She did not know she was getting that main roster call up. Neither did I, in all honesty, but I think this is going to do her some good. The presentation of her entrance is going to definitely get over on the main roster. And rounding out the pick that I think Scott detested was Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell moving from Monday Night Raw to SmackDown.
I mean, it's fine. You used a pick on them during the show. Like, that's not a supplemental pick. Are you kidding me? What are we doing? Like, I saw Dijak get drafted supplemental, but you drafted Candice and Indy. Come on.
Definite choices as well. Your thoughts on Lyra getting called up?
She's going to get lost in the shuffle. Don't really see a lot happening with her. I think in NXT, she was, not a big fish in a small pond, but just she was able to find her niche there. She was able to build a connection with that audience. I don't know if she's going to be able to get that time and opportunity on the main roster. Like the Becky win was a big thing for her. So I don't see her getting it. I mean, it's a loaded division. It's a lot of women on that main roster who deserve some shine and some spotlight. Like Chelsea Green is somebody we talk about all the time who could definitely like do something and eat up screen time. So I don't know if Lyra is going to be able to do that right off the bat. It's probably going to take some time.
It's going to take some time, but I do have some faith. I think that she is on a roster with a lot of talented women, and I think that she will find a way to stand out. She's got to find that extra ingredient that's going to really make her into a top tier star. But she's got the work rate behind her, obviously, just got to get that pop of personality. But the entrance will be a bless for her on the main roster. I think it's going to carry over well. Just got to find that extra something to make her stand out. But the talent in the ring is undeniable as we get to the final round of the 2024 WWE draft that was on television. As I try to figure out who the hell moved up in the supplemental draft after Raw went off the air. So remaining, I should say, moving from SmackDown to Monday Night Raw is the Final Testament. Karrion Kross, Akam, Rezar, Scarlett, and Paul Ellering is, I think that Scott likes to call this crew John Wick.
Yeah, you can call them John Wick. You can call them the faculty. You can call them, a lot of different things. You can call them the Evil Dead. A lot of different names will work for you. Call them the Walking Dead if you want to. I could see Karrion Kross being Rick. And so yeah, a lot of different names. But again, somebody took Candace and Indy over the five of them. It just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. So, but I'm happy for them. I guess the NXT thing was just hey, let's just go beat up some people because we don't know where we're going in a couple weeks. So let's just go to NXT, beat up a couple of the G Leaguers, and then we'll come back up to the main roster.
Basically, because Nathan Fraser and Axiom is pretty much a lock to retain these titles now that the Final Testament are moving to Monday Night Raw in the draft. As we get to DIY, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa moving from Raw to SmackDown, Bronson Reed remains on Raw, and a call-up from NXT, another great genuine reaction, Blair Davenport moves from NXT to SmackDown.
I like the Blair pick. I think she'll do better on the main roster as well, especially working with some more seasoned veterans.
I agree. Do you think that she'll find a way to stand out from this, possibly?
Yeah, I do. I think she'll stand out. I think, especially when she starts cutting promos, the diversity on the women's side of the roster is kind of what makes everyone stand out, as everyone is a little different. Everyone feels a little bit different. So I think she'll be able to stand out. I think her moveset's going to stand out. I think just the way she goes about her in-ring style, everything about her is different in NXT. That's why I thought she was going to do a bit more in NXT, but I think she'll do really nice things on the main roster.
Yes. So I'm trying to figure out who else moved during the draft. And I'm trying to figure this out. I know for sure Dijak moved from NXT to Monday Night Raw.
That's a good pickup for Raw, too.
Yes, I agree. I am scrolling through socials to find out exactly who else got moved in the last hour or so. And give me one moment here. That's the only move I see. I see nothing else. So maybe we get more news on social media sometime next week. But that is all I see for right now. Nothing else has been confirmed regarding main roster movement and NXT movement as of yet. As we wrap up the 2024 WWE draft, overall, some movement, not very much, no seismic shifts. I do think that the women's division for Monday Night Raw got stronger. And you look at the assemblage of talent on Monday Night Raw: Drew McIntyre, CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Bronson Reed, Sami Zayn, Braun Breaker, Ilya Dragunov, Sheamus. That is some strong style. You got Priest, you got Finn Balor there as well, you got Ricochet. This is really going to be a stacked roster of workers for sure.
Yeah, I think so as well. And the draft was a complete waste of time. but I mean, it was just a complete waste of time. I think we should have just, I know you have to do it. It's just, it's their yearly thing, but it didn't work. So I'm looking forward to see what they do after everything is set. You know, rosters, you know, we don't see a lot of the movement and rosters are set on their brands. And like you said, Raw's got a lot going on as far as work rate. They got a lot of workhorses on that brand. So there's going to be a lot of exciting matches to be had on that 3-hour show.
Yes. And I'm going to be honest. I think that the draft is not as special as it used to be because there is this refusal to really do a lot with it. So what I would like to see moving forward would be something that I think is very popular in sports when it comes to the NBA and NFL in recent years. Let's do free agency. Let's do that. Let that be a bit more exciting versus a draft. And then you can sign people and storyline whose contracts are up and you can get them to switch from a show or do trades. I'm here for that as well. Let's do WWE free agency on a Friday and then on a Monday and then call it a day. No need to do a draft, just do free agency and just kind of set the rosters from there, because the draft in a lot of ways is a waste of time. Do free agency and trades. That would be my suggestion to shake this up to prevent a draft that doesn't do a lot at the end of the day. And then it kind of negates the rounds because you're resetting the table ultimately. So just do free agency. There's a way to do it. You got the sports guy from ESPN there that could definitely pull it off. And I believe that would be more believable if they went in that direction versus a traditional draft, which has been in the system in WWE sporadically for the last 20 years or so.
Yeah, free agents, that'd be a good idea. Something to try. It's definitely something new.
Yes. As we get to the rest of Monday Night Raw, we had CM Punk coming for Drew McIntyre. He was in the skybox and Drew followed him. And then CM Punk magically appeared in the ring. And he basically said, when I'm 100%, I am going to come for you because you prayed for this to happen to me. And I prayed for that to happen to you, because now you're hurt. I'm hurt. We're both hurt. But you know what we're going to do? When the time comes, you're going to beat the hell out of each other. And I'm here for that. I think this has been a very surprise feud out of nowhere for both guys. And I think that when the time comes for Punk to be cleared, him and McIntyre are going to have a very special feud. And I think by the Clash at the Castle in Scotland, Drew McIntyre will be Damian Priest and he will be world heavyweight champion in his home country. And then CM Punk will piss all over it. And then we'll have a bigger match, presumably at SummerSlam in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, this it continues the Drew CM Punk build. Damian Priest is definitely the third wheel, but that's fine. He's getting a world title reign out of it. And the eventual match between the two is going to be it's going to be a big time feel.
Definitely. And at the top of the show, we had like this weird meeting between Judgment Day, the U.S. champion Logan Paul, and three-time Super Bowl champion, two-time MVP Patrick Mahomes. Okay, that was random. Then we had Logan Paul do some draft picks, and then he talks crap about Jey Uso randomly. I don't know where that beef came from. And then Jay comes out to have a confrontation. We have Finn Balor and JD McDonagh trying to come out for a double team attack, and then they jump on Jey Uso. And then we have Logan Paul go to the ringside area, and he's asking for Patrick Mahomes's Super Bowl rings, all three of them. He takes them, loads them up to knock out Jey Uso, but instead he knocks out JD McDonagh. We got this comedic spot giving you Friday flashbacks of holy shit, JD, you got knocked the fuck out. Jay was a meme through it all, and Finn was like, what happened? He looks around, what are we doing? The fight recommences again. Then Braun Strowman comes back, looks in amazing shape, choke slams the hell out of Finn Balor, and he and Patrick Mahomes have a face-to-face confrontation. The O-line has got Patrick's back, and then we have Jay trying to pull Strowman back from a fight. So that was a very chaotic segment. But let me tell you something. Super Bowl rings hurt. Later in the show, we saw the face of JD McDonagh. It was fucked up.
Yeah, they did a good job with the makeup.
I don't know if that is exactly what happened.
I'm not quite sure that his face got messed up that bad, but yeah, the makeup artist did a good job. The rings thing was cool. Braun coming back was cool. I like Braun. I'm excited to see what he does. I don't know why he came back and interrupted Logan, why he's helping Jey Uso, but it is what it is. I guess everybody's cool with Jey, but I'm excited to see what Braun does. I think he's going to bring a lot to the table, and I hope he goes after Sammy relatively soon.
That'd be a very fun rivalry, and I really enjoy Braun Strowman's return to WWE. A couple of years ago, he came back better and better shape. Love the team with Ricochet. That was a lot of fun as well. So he can bring value to this roster. I do wonder about the Uncle Howdy component of this, because we know he's coming back soon. If there's going to be any allegiance there with Eric Redbeard as well, we'll see about that down the road. But just a random segment, and Patrick Mahomes being a heel working with Logan Paul. I know the Prime endorsement is there, but dude, that was very random. Your three-time Super Bowl champion getting a mixed reaction for being in league with Logan Paul, a hated individual in WWE.
I didn't mind it. I thought Patty came off pretty well. They know he's not a likable person, but I think Logan Paul is probably more popular than we think he is.
Yeah. I think it's like that begrudge it, like we got to boo you, but there is a great deal of respect that fans have for him because he's really good in the ring. And I think that one day he'll be a good baby face when the time comes. He tried to force it a couple of years ago, which was bizarre, but I think that in time he will be over as a baby face. I do believe that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Then we got something, Scott, that we have to talk about. So we had a conversation going on backstage, and during this conversation I saw someone leave a room. It was Liv Morgan, and a few moments later someone else leaves the very same locker room. It was Dirty Dominic Mysterio. I think that Liv Morgan imminently is going to be Dirty Dom's new mommy.
Yeah, I think the tea leaves have been there for a while. Liv just said she's going to take everything from her. Her having Dom and the title when Rhea comes back would be a nice sight. So this is all setting up for a huge return for Rhea Ripley.
As a babyface for sure, and Liv and Dom, we'll see. It's going to get spicy. Judgment Day is cratering. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, the subtle details of that, I had my eyes like, ooh, that looks like Liv. And then that's Dom. Like, this is very interesting. So she is definitely going to take everything for Rum Mommy when it's all said and done. And then she faced Nia Jax later on in the show that ended via a victory after we had Naomi and Tiffany Stratton get into it at ringside. We had Nia Jax go after Naomi, and then Liv Morgan is able to do the Codebreaker and Oblivion for the win. And she is next in line for a shot at the Women's World Championship against Becky Lynch.
Yeah, and we'll see. They're probably not going to put the belt on her yet, but it should be a good match.
Yes, and then also on the show last night, Sami Zayn versus Bronson Reed, IC title up for grabs. We had Sami Zayn hitting the Helluva Kick on Chad Gable. Great spot backstage earlier in the show. He was going to pay for it when Chad came back out there to attack Sami Zayn, DQ. And then Bronson Reed laid out both men, and I think that would be a great triple threat for the IC title, possibly a backlash if they go in that direction.
Yeah, I think so too. And good to see Bronson Reed's not going to get lost in the shuffle.
Yes, agreed. He's going to be a player on Monday Night Raw. And then we get to the main event of the show, which was a six-man tag team match involving Jey Uso, Ricochet, and Andrade versus the Judgment Day. And this was a all right main event. I will say for the KC crowd, they were kind of dry throughout the evening, kind of so-so. And this main event was just kind of there. There was some disagreements amongst Judgment Day at various points. And then we had Jay land spear on Finn to get the 1-2-3 as he faces Priest for the World Heavyweight Championship at Backlash this Saturday on Peacock.
Nothing to this match. Any random six-man tag match you can find on any wrestling show. So nothing to it unless you just want to see your favorites. Jey Uso got a great reaction coming out, and good for him. Nice win for him to set up his title match. Good face-off at the end.
Yes, and I do want to circle back to one more thing before we wrap up the show, and that was Gunther versus Xavier Woods. This was a methodical beatdown of Woods as we had Gunther go after the left leg, and he was just going after it, putting it in a heel hook, going for an STF. At one point, Kofi was going to throw in the towel, but you know, Xavier said no, STF submission. That is Gunther's ninth finisher as he took out Xavier from the Judgment Day. No, not from Judgment Day, for the New Day. And then in a great trolling moment, he basically did the visual of, I have taken your crown and placing it upon my head, and I am the king of the ring now. Love that for Gunther. I love that for Gunther. Talking big shit, backing it up, and he could be the king of the ring. And based on this assemblage of talent, a Monday Night Raw, this tournament could be special.
Yeah, it's probably not going to be. It'll be fine. I think the finals will get a lot of time. A couple of the semi matches will get a lot of time. They're not too big on giving the first matches a lot of time. This, again, another match that you can find on any random episode of Monday Night Raw. It was just more of a showcase for Gunther. Got to show off another finisher. We've seen this before as well, so nothing really to this for me, but a nice reintroduction of the ruthlessness and the match can end at any time from Gunther.
Yes, and I love that for him, the viciousness and the kind of suave about him being able to take out his opponents at any time. I enjoyed the match, and this was basically a very basic episode of Monday Night Raw. Night two of the draft was a bit better than night one. Some movement across rosters, but not very much, I have to say. And it was kind of like, you know, Triple H, I don't really feel like moving too many people. I move some people. I move factions more so than singles wrestlers. You know, that kind of inflated the ratio of people moving from one show to the other, because you're moving entire factions from one show to the next, not breaking up anybody in particular. So all in all, it was an all right draft, a bit better in terms of presentation, but I do want them to explore the free agency idea, something different versus the draft, which is pretty sterile at this point.
Yeah, it was unnecessary, but we got it over with, and now we can move on to having these rosters set.
Yes, and they are locked in on May 6th, next Monday on Raw, and we'll see how that goes as we get ready for a new look Raw and SmackDown moving forward. I must say, I laughed at the WWE on Fox Twitter account that tweeted the big three for Naomi, Jade, and Bianca. I'm like, well, Fox, you only have them until the fall when they move to USA. So what are you talking about?
Yeah, enjoy it while you got them, because after that, it's gone.
It's gone. Like, enjoy this. Like, you have them for a few months. I just found that very interesting, as the WWE on Fox account will be retired in a few short months. And with that, this wraps up the wrap on a Tuesday, our new home, our new day right here on the Fike Media Network. But before we go, Scott, it's now time to select the best match you saw across WWE from this past week. Could be Monday Night Raw, NXT, SmackDown, main event, Level Up, hell, even WWE Speed.
Definitely not the best match, but Trick Williams versus Dragunov, the crowning moment, the new face of the brand. And just really cool to see somebody who you saw their very first match to seeing them now winning the championship. So Trick versus Dragunov for me.
I concur. I co-sign. Best match of the week for me as well. Love the emotion. Love the presentation. Enjoyed the match. And of course, the celebration of Trick Williams as a new face of NXT heading into the summer. And with that, that is a wrap for this week's episode of The Wrap right here on the Fike Media Network. I want to thank my co-captain, Scott Young, for joining me this week as we chopped it up and discussed the week that was in WWE.
Thank you, Keila. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm going to go drink my sorrows away. Lakers lost, so I'm going to go pour one out for my homie, Mr. 21 years, the king himself. And as we get ready to trade the biggest thief in NBA history, Rui Hachimura, D'Angelo Russell, and we'll go ahead and throw in a Spencer Dinwiddie for Kevin Durant.
Okay, look at you being brave and brazen, thinking that KD to LA is the answer to your prayers. We shall see when free agency and the trades and all of the shenanigans kick off in July. But until then, that is a wrap for what we do every single week right here on the Fike Media Network. We will be back next Sunday morning. Remember, because there's a PLE on Saturday via Backlash, we'll talk about it Sunday morning. Then we'll run it back on The Wrap on Tuesday, recapping everything going down for the rest of WWE this week on NXT and SmackDown as well. So until then, enjoy the week ahead. We will reconvene with the recap of Monday Night Raw, post Backlash and Backlash itself Sunday morning right here on the Fike Media Network. So for myself and Salty Scott Young, take care and bye-bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.